Hello, and welcome to another episode of True Stories of Good People, a GoFundMe Heroes production. I'm your host, Kelsey Little. In each episode of this podcast, we sit down with someone who's making a difference in other people's lives, or who's had their life changed by someone kind. To her local community, Marcella Thompson is a living angel. Marcella saw that many local families were struggling to make ends meet and felt compelled to help, and so for the past 4 years, she's been helping to feed and clothe the children in her neighborhood. The impact she's made in these kids' and families' lives is profound, but it has grown to encompass so much more than providing meals. Hello from a snowy Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm so thrilled to be here today chatting with a wonderful person, Marcella Thompson. Marcella, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you for having me, Kelsey.
It's an honor for me. It truly is. So you're not actually based here in Raleigh. I believe you're about half an hour away in Durham. Is that right?
I am. Durham, North Carolina.
Okay.
Yes, it's not that far away.
What is your, first of all, thank you for coming all the way over here. What's your favorite thing about living over there?
Durham is one of those exciting places that I kind of got to be a resident because my daughter went to the School of Science and Mathematics.
Oh, cool.
And in 2014, she became deathly ill, and we had to do a lot of things at Duke Hospital for her.
Wow.
And at that point, I decided that the best place to be would be where all the doctors are, the best doctors in the world. And to then I started just loving the community.
Yeah.
Of Durham, because I live in East Durham.
Okay.
It's not the posh neighborhood, but there's so many wonderful families and children, and that I, as a grandmother, could be grandmother, great grandmother, and mother to these children. And so I just decided this is where the Lord wants me to be.
Yeah. So that's a great segue. So kind of to dive right into what we're here to talk about today, for the past 3 years or so, you've been doing something pretty incredible in your neighborhood. You've actually been helping to feed and clothe and entertain even the children who live in your area. I have so many questions about this amazing work that you're doing, but I would love to start by asking, how did you get this idea in the first place?
Well, you know, I have always been in a great circle of relatives. My grandparents and my aunt, they were people who took care of the community without anybody really knowing. And I grew up watching them. If somebody was in need, my grandfather would go and do whatever it was needed to be done. My grandmother would do whatever she could do. My aunt would sacrifice her own things to help other people who she felt needed more. And I was taught that no matter how much you think you don't have, you can always help somebody.
Yeah.
My grandfather would say to me as a little girl, if you think things are bad for you, take a minute to feel a little sorry for yourself, but then look to the right of you and look to the left of you, and people have it way worse. So that's what I always tried to keep in mind, that I could always help somebody.
Yeah.
And so I started, when I moved to this area, it was not, it was bullet holes and drive-by shootings.
Oh my gosh.
And drug infested. And I moved into this little two-bedroom apartment, my daughter and I. She had brain surgery a month later after we moved.
Wow.
But I put my apartment number over my back door because there were so many kids. And I say to them, I don't want you getting into any trouble about anything that you need. You come to my door, okay? And so kids would come, this one young man, he was so sweet. He came, he had just gotten a job, and he needed to have a white shirt and pants.
Oh.
And he had those things, but they weren't clean, and he didn't have any detergent. And he said, Miss Marcella, can I borrow some detergent?
Wow.
And I said, sweetheart, here. I gave him a whole bag of Tide Pods. And I said, anything else you need? No, ma'am. There are young men and women who live under the bridge. They are on drugs or alcoholics. And they came to my door. I feed them. And we sit and we talk. And people need to feel like they're valued.
Yeah.
They have value. And even though they may be on drugs, or they may be alcoholics, or they may be whatever the case, you have to give everybody a sense of you're valuable.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to do. So I feed them, and then I pack up whatever I can, because they live literally under a bridge.
Yeah.
So that they have food. And, you know, the children have a parking lot to play in, the little children.
Yeah.
And they have a dilapidated little playset. For 2 years, it didn't even have swings on it. But they would go out and try to play. And when they got off the bus, most of the time, I would try to have a snack for them. But they would have to earn the snack.
How?
They would go. I said, oh, the play yard looks a little rough. How about we clean that up?
Nice.
And then you come to the door and Miss Marcella got a treat for you. And so they would pick up the little paper or whatever was there, put it in the trash can, and then they line up at my door. And I would buy these huge, Food Lion had some apples that if you buy these bags of apples, a part of the proceeds would go to Feeding America.
Wow.
So I would always buy those, and it would take two bags of apples.
Yeah.
And they would line up. I'd wash all the apples and give them their little wet apple in a paper towel, and they would be so happy that they got an apple.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, in my neighborhood, there are moms that are working, but they may have 3, 4, 5, 6 children.
Yeah.
And they're all under 30.
Wow.
The oldest mom just turned 29 in October in my program.
Oh my gosh.
And she has 4 children. And the thing about it is, some of the dads are dead.
Yeah.
Some of the dads are in prison because they killed someone.
Wow.
Some of the dads are involved with drugs, and a lot of these mothers, they're in their 20s when they should have been having the time of their lives. They had kids at 14 and 15.
Yeah.
And they're trudging along. And so it's terrible that children are eating ramen because, you know, if you work, you don't get help.
Yeah.
And it's just a sad way of life to live. They're tired because they're working the hardest jobs for the least amount of pay. So a lot of the time, I make sure they have snack when they get off the bus.
Yeah.
And it would sometimes be cupcakes and milk, or, you know, I'd make little mini sandwiches for them, and we have juice. It gives me a chance to talk to them. And it gives them a chance to talk to somebody that's non-judgmental.
Right.
And so it started with just doing the snacks. And then it got to the point where kids would be so hungry, they'd ask for extra.
Yeah.
Or they would say to me, Miss Marcella, what are we going to have tomorrow?
Wow. Well, so I would love to know, like, because it's grown so much bigger since then, but I mean, you saw all of these families and these kids under these, like, really tough circumstances. And what made you see this and think, you know, I need to be the one to do something about this? Because that's pretty – I know you're just kind of that kind of person, it seems like, but that's pretty remarkable. What made you think that you needed to be the one?
Because I was there. And when you see something, you need to do something about it. You know, there's an old thing that, you know, my pastor long ago, years ago, had in a sermon. And there was this mom and her little girl and a little baby brother. And they were in the cold. It was cold and it was raining. It was wet. And this gentleman would pass by going to the commuter train. And he would see this family. And he said, "Oh, my goodness, what kind of God would allow this to happen?" And he was just really terrible, you know, in his thought of why does God allow people to be in such circumstances? And he was so angry one day. The child had a little thin sweater and no coat. The mom had a little thin sweater, and the baby did have a little thin blanket wrapped up, but they were outside. And he said to God, why would you allow this to happen? This is ridiculous. What kind of God are you to allow this child to be out here in this cold with no coat?" And God said to him, "I let you see it." So God works through us, through our hands, through our thoughts, through our heart. And so this is why I felt like I need to take this on, not to impress anybody, but they're little bitty kids.
Yeah.
And their mothers are trying.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have much, but I can make a big pot of beans and greens. And, you know, I know how to cook for a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
And stretch it. So the Lord stretched the little that I had. And sometimes people would bring me different things because they know, well, she's always feeding the community. Sometimes
yeah.
I would, you know, I have two 18-quart pots, and I'd make a bunch of soup. And then I could take a pot of soup and grilled cheese sandwiches with my little blue wagon to each door and give it so that the mom didn't have to worry about what the kids are going to eat.
Wow.
Or make meatloaf, you know, so that the moms and mashed potatoes and that didn't come out of a box, you know, I peel all the potatoes and make them with the good cream.
Yeah.
And green beans. Because one of my friends may say, "Oh, Marcella, here, this is something I can give to you for your people."
Yeah.
And so I just take my little blue wagon and I go from door to door and leave the food. So then the children got to knowing that they could eat.
Yeah.
And the mamas got to know that there's somebody that cares about them. Because most of those moms, they have, you know, tenuous relationships with their parents. They really don't have a backup system.
Yeah.
And so it's just nobody in this country should be hungry.
Yeah.
In this country with so much that we throw away, nobody should be hungry.
Right.
So I just started gathering and people started saying, "Oh, I'm going to take this to Miss Marcella because I know she'll know somebody." So it started that way. And then I had a rough time financially with money. And the summer was coming.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of small children. The year before I had a bunch of teenagers, which is a different dynamic in feeding. But little small children need a lot of nutritious food.
Yeah.
And you just can't. I don't believe in giving kids really processed food.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the funds. And I stayed up nights praying, you know, how am I going to take care of my kids? The summer is coming.
You were paying for this all out of your own pocket and just donations?
Yes.
That's such a huge burden for you to take on.
Not really.
No.
Because, you know, I know how to stretch.
Yeah, like you said.
I know how to stretch. And God has been really good in providing the things that you need. You may not get what you want, but He's made the way for us to get what we need.
Yeah.
And so, excuse me. So what ended up happening was that I wanted some permanent seating to go outside under the tree.
Yeah.
And I didn't have money to buy. So I went to the mayor, and I was asking him for seating. Because you look around Durham and you see this wrought iron seating every place. And he said, well, Marcella, maybe I can find somebody that can help you because we just don't have any. I thought maybe they had some stashed away somewhere that they could give me, but that wasn't the case. So then he talked to me about a grant that the city of Durham had gotten. It's called the Champs Grant. And there were only 6 cities in the United States that got this grant.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
Durham was one of them.
Wow, that's so cool.
So there was money for a summer feeding program for children.
This past summer?
This past summer.
Oh, my gosh.
So I went to, he turned me on to Miss Sky Harris and Mr. Jim over at the Durham school system. So I went there and they said, oh, Miss Marcella, this is wonderful. We heard about what you have been doing on your own and we have money from this grant. So you can have breakfast and or lunch. Which one would you want? And I said, can I have both of them?
Yeah. Smart.
So they were able to give me some tables and chairs, and they brought me breakfast and lunch.
Wow.
And so I put together this program so that the kids would have summer camp.
Oh, cool.
Every day. So from 8:30 to 2:30, we had summer camp in the parking lot under the tree.
Every day?
Every day, Monday through Friday.
Wow.
And so it was the greatest thing for the kids because we did arts and crafts. We had speakers come to talk
to
them.
That's so cool.
Nutritionists and doctors. And I wanted the kids to see people that look like them.
Yeah.
To know that they could be this if they wanted to.
Wow.
We had classes on manners, and there was it was always a safe zone. Nobody could bully anybody, and you had to be respectful. In order to get respect, you have to give it.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of things teaching kids basic life skills.
Wow.
And their moms didn't have to worry about if they're going to eat because a lot of the households didn't have food for kids during the summer. I would hate to see Monday come because I know that unless I had a special community meal. Sometimes I would just cook up a bunch of stuff and we'd go outside. I'd set up a bunch of tables and everybody come to eat. And if people passing by and they want to eat, they could eat too.
Yeah.
But if I didn't have that, my kids were, they were just doubly hungry.
Yeah.
So it was always a very sad time when Monday morning came because they were ravenous.
Yeah.
And so we just started coming every day, came every day. They were learning experiences with everything
that
they did.
That's so cool.
And it was the coolest thing. We did, they love this. We played Bean Boozle. Have you ever played Bean Boozle?
No, what's that?
Bean Boozle is Jelly Belly. You know, they have all the jelly beans.
Yeah.
So they take all of these stinky jelly beans, like, you know, vomit.
Yeah.
Or it could be vomit, but it could be also coconut.
Oh.
And so you spin the wheel and you pick these jelly beans. Now, if you got vomit, it was really vomit.
Ew.
I mean, it was terrible.
That's gross.
But the kids love it. Vomit, boogers.
Oh, yeah.
Dog food.
Like this, yeah.
I mean, terrible, terrible thing. And they taste just like, I mean, I would never chew them.
Ew.
But you can smell with the breath. But the object of the game was to be able to, if you swallowed it, you were still in the game.
Nice.
But if you had to spit it out, then you were out.
That's
so
funny.
And you get a prize. So they love to play that. We had wet musical chairs.
Ooh.
I went and got a adapter and put it on my kitchen sink with a hose and put it outside with a lawn sprinkler, put the chairs around, and we played the music. Alexandria, my daughter, would play the music and then stop. But they were soaking wet because it was, you know, in the 90s.
Yeah.
Every day.
Wow.
And they just love doing that. We're in a parking lot. It's a dismal looking place.
Yeah.
But they're having a great time. We learned how to, the kids did collages and artwork, and then they had to do gratitude days.
Oh, I love that.
Where they draw a picture, because some of them were not old enough to know how to write.
Yeah.
But they could draw a picture. And you draw a picture and you write what you're grateful for. And I tried to teach them that there's always something to be grateful for.
Yeah.
And it got them away from their situations, and they learned so much. They're so smart.
I'm curious if you had any conversations with, you know, the parents or the kids that really touched you and just illuminated for you, like, this is important. We need to keep doing this.
Well, a lot of the kids, one of the children that was 13, a young boy, his mother worked and she went to school. So he was in charge of three rambunctious siblings. And he had a lot of issues, because, you know, kids don't want to listen to their brother.
Yeah.
You know, and they, oh, you can't tell me anything and this and that and the other thing. And the mom had to put a lot of responsibility on this child, because she's trying to do better.
Yeah.
She's trying to make a better life. And it's difficult. She had him when he was, I think she had him when she was 14 or 15 years old.
Wow.
And that's, you know, that's a child.
Yeah.
And so he would come and help me set up, and I would give him an allowance so that he would have some money. It wasn't very much, but it was a lot to him. And it showed that I appreciated his contribution.
Yeah.
And so he would come and help me set up, and we would talk during those times, and he'd say, Miss Marcella, I love you just like I love my grandmother. And I just think that you're the best.
Wow.
And I respect you so much. Because I would sit and talk to him during those set up times and those breaking down times. Sometimes we would just sit and talk.
Wow.
And it's amazing to hear what a 13-year-old thinks about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the dreams that they have that they don't think that will ever come true.
Wow.
So that touched me a lot. Also, there was a mother who had been through an abusive relationship with her husband, and she had six kids, a young girl, 27, with
wow.
six, and they're stair steps. And one day I went, and she wasn't home, but her sister was visiting. No, her mother was visiting. So I came with my little wagon, and I had two meatloafs, and I had mashed potatoes and green beans, too, because she's got six kids, and
yeah.
they are hungry.
Oh, my gosh.
So the grandmother was there. She was visiting, and I left the food with the grandmother. And so when the mom got home, she knocked on my door and she said, hi, thank you for the food, Miss Marcella. And I said, oh, okay, yes, honey, you're welcome. She said, I usually give your kids snack. And she said, yes, I know. I know that you've been doing this for a long time for my kids. And she started to cry.
Wow.
She said, thank you so much. And so I deliver grocery bags to You know, I'll get food together. There'll be so much on sale. And sometimes, you know, they'll have the markdown meat and I can afford to buy. I try to have meat, one kind of meat at least, in everybody's bag. And I was getting canned goods donated, and I had some friends that would give me bread. And so I put all the things in the grocery bag, and the people that live where I can pull my wagon, I just pull it through to the wagon. But then we have another community. It's not that far, but I had to take the car and give them the groceries. And they really need the food. I mean, really need the food. When you have kids, before you can leave, they're eating out of the bag.
Wow.
So it's in a sense, you know, these are all my children. I gave birth to two, but this community, all of these are my kids.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think we should feel that way within the community. Some of us don't have time to do, but find somebody who's doing the work and help them finance what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's, you can do your part that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of us have so many talents that you can invest a little bit of time into these children, and you can see how wonderful it is, the spark that happens with them.
Yeah.
And so I feel like all of us can contribute, because guess what? You may not have given birth to these kids. You may not live next door to them. You may live a community away, but you're going to eventually have to give something.
Yeah.
You can give in the front end and inspire a child to be a wonderful thing, or you can give a whole lot in the back end, supporting somebody who's in prison. And right now, I think the national, we spend $100,000 a year on one prisoner.
Wow.
And in the United States.
I didn't know that.
$100,000 a year. This is crazy. Think about it. When we can have, you know, expanded child care, you know, so that people can put their kids in a safe place and work. We can have the minimum wage raised so people have a working salary, a working way to take care of their children. We can have better schools. We can invest in these neighborhood schools, because all schools are not equal. So, but the main thing that we have to do is make sure that no child is hungry.
Yeah. Well, so you had this grant and you did the summer camp, which was incredible. But that only lasted through the summer, I believe. But you still are doing, you know, your food handouts, and the kids come and visit and everything. So you still need funding and donations and people to get involved, like you said, for that. You did start a GoFundMe campaign, which is how I heard your story. And that's seen some lovely support so far. What do those extra donations allow you to do more of?
Oh, my goodness. I was able to get two refrigerators.
Wow.
I was able to get two freezers. So that way I could get, if somebody wanted to give me a bunch of meat.
Yeah.
Or if somebody wanted to give me frozen fruit or whatever. Or I have a whole lot of bread that was donated. I can freeze those things.
Nice.
I'm able to go. And, like, you know, I go to Wegmans, which is here in Raleigh, and it's a really, really nice grocery store. Oh, my God. But they have 3 dozen eggs for $1.57. 3 dozen eggs.
Wow.
And so I buy a bunch of that, and then everybody's got eggs that week.
Yeah.
Or I buy, the milk was, it was really cheap. It was like $1 and some odd cents. For a half gallon of milk.
Wow.
So I buy a bunch of that, and everybody's got fresh milk. So if if certain people bring in the gleaned, you know how they glean the sweet potatoes?
Yeah.
After they picked everything for consumption for the stores,
yeah,
then people can go in and glean and pick them up. Well, there's nothing wrong with the sweet potatoes.
Of course,
I mean, they may not look that great, but with kids that don't know how to really cook gleaned stuff,
yeah,
then guess what I do? I take all those potatoes and I make sweet potato pies.
Yeah.
I make the custard. And then they can just bake the pie. Sometimes I just bake the pies and give them to them. Or if I get a bunch of greens, I cook the greens up and can put them in the freezer. We were able to get more clothing from the money.
Nice.
Because a lot of our kids didn't have basic stuff.
Yeah, you also provide clothing in addition to
food. Yeah, we do clothing. We do. If you don't have beds, we go find you some bed,
wow,
bedding, and we try, and we paid a few bills, you know, that people needed, you know, bills paid to get them up so they could kind of manage, you know,
wow,
they wouldn't have to do without electricity. And so we ended up, we took the kids on a field trip.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about
that. Oh, my gosh. It was so cool.
What did you do?
We went to the movies.
Nice.
And a lot of the kids had never been to the movies.
Wow, ever?
Ever.
Oh, my gosh.
When we went into the theater, this one little girl, she was staying so close to me and holding my hand. She said, "Oh, it's so dark, Miss Marcella." I said, "Oh, it's okay. The movie's going to come on and we're going to have fun." It has to be dark so that you can see. But it was scary going into that cavernous place.
Yeah.
And it was dark. So we were able to rent a van. And once see, God works things out so great. We were looking for, because I don't have transportation, and when we got the money, we had to find some way to get all the kids there. And so one of my families, their uncle worked for this company. So we called him. And his boss said, "Well, the best we can do is $300.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. And so he came and he realized that I was the one who was giving the family extra food. And I was the one that was, the kids were in my day camp program.
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, Miss Marcella, I'll pay half."
Oh, my gosh.
So his boss, though, gave us, we paid for the minimum, you know, kind of van.
Yeah.
Oh, he pulls up in this big luxury van with the flat screen TVs and the cushioned seats.
Oh, my gosh.
And the kids were so excited.
Wow.
Because the company said, since this is Miss Marcella that's doing this, we're going to give you the top-of-the-line van.
How did that make you feel?
It made me just feel great that my children could be going in style.
Yes.
You know, and everybody came, and they were so excited because they'd never been on the van. They'd never been to the movies. We lined everybody up, and we bought, everybody got a kid pack.
Yes, like with a candy and popcorn.
With the candy and the popcorn and the drink.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, what did you see?
We saw Hotel Transylvania.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah.
And the kids were just the happiest.
Oh, my gosh.
And so after the movie, we had a picnic in Duke Park. It's a wonderful play area.
Yeah.
And I got all my comforters out of my closet. And they were bright colors, you know.
Yeah.
And so the kids, never been on a picnic.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I put all of these comforters on the ground, and they were saying, "Oh, I want to be on the pink one. I want to be on this one. I want to be on that one." So they got their seats, crisscross applesauce, and they got their food, and they were just the happiest because it's a beautiful park.
Yeah.
And they're not used to that.
That sounds like the best day ever.
It was great. After we played and had our lunch and packed up everything, Then we went to McDonald's.
What?
For ice cream.
What the best day. Oh, my gosh.
This little girl, a little Hispanic girl, she came up to me and she said, Miss Marcella, this is the best day of my life.
Oh, that makes me want to cry.
She's 11.
Oh, my gosh.
And she has her mom works and she has a bunch of little brothers and sisters that she has to take care of. She's responsible for.
Wow.
And she said, this is the best day of my life. So the people who donated, you know, whether you donated $5 or $100, you made the difference in 45 kids' lives.
Wow.
That was so amazing to them. And the continuation of being able to, we started a cemetery project. The oldest black cemetery in Durham was so neglected and trash and overgrown and headstones. And it was, my daughter had, this project was really something that Durham Tech was doing. And I thought, well, I'll go and work on it. And when I got there, there were people there, but they were picking up sticks. They had gloves, but they had no tools.
Yeah.
So that money, some of that money bought shovels and axes and rakes.
Wow.
And trash bags. And we continue to do, once a month, we continue to do, we provide Chick-fil-A. A kid will do anything for Chick-fil-A. And so that money went to cleaning up the cemetery, which we investment in tools,
yeah,
you know, to be able to do that. And for children to learn about whose shoulders they stand on.
Yeah, that's
because
powerful.
Most kids don't know that they come from valuable, powerful people.
Yeah.
And so not only is it a cleanup day, but it's also a reinforcement of that you are a valuable person.
Wow.
And they're so proud of the fact that they make a difference. We have our prayer for our ancestors, saying that we thank them for making the way for us. And kids, when we discover a gravestone buried, they're so excited. Everybody comes and they want to see.
Wow.
And so the money that was invested in tools and lunch or breakfast, whichever, it's making kids want to know. I do high school kids. They come to it from Hillside High School, and they're so excited to come. That is something that I can never get over, the feeling of how proud they are. It's an amazing feeling to know that the little that I have as an individual makes a huge difference in the lives of so many people.
Yeah.
And when people don't know where they come from, or if they don't know that their representation on the earth is valuable,
yeah,
and hope is dead, it's in a child, that's a terrible thing.
Yeah, that's awful.
And so the little things that we do, it makes a huge difference in how they think about themselves. And when people are proud of themselves, they do good. If you give them good, they do good.
Well, I would love to hear about the future plans that you have for this, because I know, you know, you got the fridge and the freezer and you've been able to ramp up a little bit, but you were telling me that you have even bigger dreams for this. What is kind of, maybe you look like 5 years in the future, what do you hope to be able to develop by then?
Oh my goodness, honey. 5 years from now, there will be a 15-story building that will encompass a medical clinic. My doctor, who works at Duke and who is on my board, is going to be the medical director.
Wow.
Of our own clinic.
Oh, my gosh. So you've already talked about this.
Oh, yes. We're starting a campaign in 2 weeks. It's called the 100 Days, $100,000 Seeds of Hope.
Wow.
And we're hoping within 100 days that we can raise $100,000 or more so that we can plant the seed to break the ground on our construction of our building.
That's so exciting.
It will be affordable housing for our program participants, but it will also be market value housing.
Wow.
There will be a program for kids aging out of the foster care system so that they would be able to, if they want to go to school, you've got somewhere to live, you've got support, you've got help, you've got people that care about your success that will back you up. There will be a program for people getting out of prison and jail, because the first thing that happens, you can't get any place to live,
yeah.
And nobody's going to hire you. And you've got wonderful people sitting in jail and prison for things that, you know, are ridiculous. Sometimes it's money situations. Sometimes it's ridiculous. You have chefs that are trained. You have plumbers and electricians and people that are brilliant.
Yeah.
They just need a chance.
Yeah.
And they have children that they need to be able to support.
Right.
And so everybody that works for us will get a living wage, everybody. And we'll give people opportunities to volunteer and give back. Our program participants, it's a requirement that they volunteer and give back to the program that they're in. But these program participants will live in the housing, the same housing that is market value, they will live according to their income. There will be a school, K through 12, that will be based on the School of Science and Math. Kids can learn anything.
Yeah.
They just have to be exposed to it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, our kids are not exposed to the great things in life. And systems don't work for them. So we'll have a Montessori-style daycare center, nursery school.
Wow.
And it's going to be market value child care. And we will have financial counseling for everybody, mental health counseling. There'll be a cafe. And we'll have a commercial kitchen for those people who have talents. I did catering. I love cooking. And I love making something beautiful. But we'll be able to get into the catering business where we'll be able to pay people who are professionals, who do have that training. And people, you know, a lot of people don't want to cook or don't want to have to worry about it. So we'll be full service. That'll provide jobs and make the catering business self-sustaining. And it'll just be a holistic approach. We'll have a food pantry and a clothing closet and all these kinds of things, but it'll be built on a Habitat for Humanity style kind of thing. Get all the people who are coming here and building up everything. You know, they are building all of these luxury housing. And when you hear the word luxury, what do you think?
Expensive.
Expensive. And these, my people, can't afford luxury.
Yeah.
So get them involved in giving something back, because there a lot of these projects are displacing people.
Yeah.
So if we can pull everybody together, then it can be a wonderful thing. And it doesn't cost a lot when we all pitch in.
Yeah.
You know, if you can do without your two cups of Starbucks a week, which is about $10 if you get the regular stuff, if you can give that $10 to us, we can do a whole lot with that. If people, and you won't miss it. So people can do other things, you know, in terms of doing tutoring. We'll have tutoring projects. Of course, we're going to have a summer camp all the time, because there are people that, you know, their kids need to experience things, field trips, go to the mountains, I'm working on trying to get my middle schoolers and some of my high schoolers I'm working with Congressman Butterfield's office to take them to Washington, D.C.
Wow.
So they can see the African American Museum. And yes. They'll be able to know that this is where we came from and look at where we are today and realize that they have an obligation to do better.
Yeah.
And when kids have expectations, when you have expectations of kids, they come through. You know, a lot of times people would drive by and I'm up under the tree with about 40 or 45 kids by myself. And they'd stop and they'd go, the kids are sitting down, they're raising their hands
yeah.
when they're speaking. Miss Marcella, how do you get all these kids to listen to you? I expect them to listen.
Yeah.
And so they know this. So it would always be funny because I would see all the grown-ups come through the parking lot, and it's just me
yeah.
and a whole bunch of kids.
Well, that's so, I mean, this is mind-blowing. So what started as you just handing out snacks, not even meals, but snacks to the kids in your neighborhood has grown into it and is going to grow into this really huge project that is kind of addressing these very prevalent problems from, like, all angles.
Yes.
It's really, really beautiful.
You have to do that. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are people that, you know, are trying to do what they can do, but they can't take a holistic approach. And what we want to do is give people a chance. Because, you know, if you give a little something here, then you won't be able to take care of everything that's over here.
Yeah.
And you're still in the same boat. You never get higher, higher, higher. You never can do that.
Yeah.
So if you do everything in one place, what it does is gives people, give children especially, a chance to dream. And this is how we discover things,
yeah.
because we dream. But when you can't dream, you can't see a way out, you get involved in all kinds of things early, and you'll end up perpetuating the teenage mom, the absent dad, and it'll generation to generation to generation. Right now, I'm working with two generations, and, well, in a few cases, three. I want to stop this
yeah.
right now. So the God has given me this talent that I'm very grateful for to be able to bring people together
yeah.
and to let them know that I don't care high or low, you have a responsibility to humanity.
Yeah.
And so we all can do something to make the world a better place. All of us can do it. And I don't want you to be crazy like me and work 7 days a week and 14, 16-hour days. But for me, this is okay. But I expect, and I'm challenging people to, you don't have to support me, but there's somebody in your community that's doing the work. Help them do it.
Yeah.
That's what I expect, and that's what I'm going to do.
Thank you so much to the wonderful Marcella for being on our podcast today. If you'd like to support her mission, please visit GoFundMe.com/TheMustardSeedProject. Thank you so much for listening to True Stories of Good People, a GoFundMe Heroes production. If you are inspired by today's story, please help us out by heading over to iTunes and leaving us a rating or review and subscribing to the show. And if anyone you know loves inspiring stories, please share our podcast with them. It means the world to us. For more inspiring stories just like the one you heard today, please visit the GoFundMe Heroes Hub at GoFundMe.com/heroes and be sure to subscribe to our mailing list so you can get heartwarming stories delivered straight to your inbox. You can also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at GoFundMe Heroes. Also, we love to hear from listeners, so if you have any feedback, suggestions, or questions, you can write to us at podcast@GoFundMe.com. Special thanks to our editing team at Cloud Studios in Seattle, Washington, and we'll be back next time with more True Stories of Good People. Talk to you then!